When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Citizens of the 21st century, my name is Pontius Pilate. I was appointed by the Emperor Tiberius to be the procurator over Judea. Now, this was not one of Rome's finer assignments, but nevertheless, I enjoyed my work well enough. I was able to keep the citizens of Judea under control. Oh, once in a while, a follower of the Maccabean brothers might try to stir up an uprising, create some trouble. But I was able to put them all down, with the exception of one man, Barabbas. But all of my troubles really started on a Friday morning a little before 7. The Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, came to me wanting me to examine a man that they had examined and tried and found guilty. Now, normally, I would have them come into my palace, and it would be there that I would examine the criminal. But it was the time of the Passover, and the Jews had this superstition that if a Jew came into the home of a Roman, they would be contaminated. Now imagine that, a Jew contaminated by a Roman. If anything, it was the other way around. A Roman would be contaminated by the Jew. But to humor them and to keep the peace, help them with their celebration, I came out on these palace steps to examine this criminal. So I asked them, "What are the charges?" And they said that he was an evil man. Now, this is an insult to Roman justice, to bring a man into a Roman court with the only accusation against him that he was an evil man. Everyone is evil. If this was the case, we'd have to bring all the Jews into Roman court. So I said, this sounds to me like it's a matter of your religious law. So you take him and you examine him. And they said to me, it is against Roman law for us to execute a criminal. Oh, so that's it. They wanted to crucify this man. Well, I said to them, then you're going to have to be a lot more specific with some charges. So they brought two charges. They said that, first of all, this man didn't like to pay taxes to Caesar. And second, they said, he says that he claims to be a king. Well, they weren't going to fool me on that first charge. I mean, I knew none of the Jews liked paying taxes to Caesar, no more than you citizens of the 21st century like paying taxes to Washington. So they were hypocrites on that charge. But this second charge rather interested me. This claim to be a king. So I said to Jesus, Jesus, are you king of the Jews? And he said, my kingdom is not of this world, or else my servants would fight. Well, that's a relief. A kingdom not of this world. It's fantasy. He's a dreamer. A kingdom with no soldiers. Oh, Rome had nothing to fear from him. But just to be sure, I asked him again, Jesus, are you king of the Jews? And he said, for this cause I have come into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who knows the truth knows me. I hadn't heard one like that in a long time. What is truth? The Romans don't tell the truth. The Epicureans don't tell the truth. The Stoics don't tell the truth. The Jewish Sanhedrin doesn't tell the truth. What is truth? So I said, I find this man innocent before Roman law. Well, they didn't like that. And they brought a third charge. They said that while he had been over in Galilee, he had stirred up the crowds and he'd caused a riot. Well, now this was good news to me. You see, Herod is tetrarch over Galilee, and Herod and I hadn't gotten along too well the last few years. There were some men in his jurisdiction who were brought to me, and I examined them, I found them guilty, and I executed them. And Herod was very upset about this because he felt like I should have sent them back to him to be examined. So I thought, this is my opportunity. I'll send this Jesus over to Herod. So I called my soldiers, said, take Jesus to Herod. And Herod was in Jerusalem at the time. And they got to Herod. And Herod examined him, and Jesus didn't say a word. He questioned him, and Jesus wouldn't speak. Silence. So Herod decided to have a little fun with him. He put a royal robe on him, and he sent him back over to me. Now, this pleased me very much, because it indicated to me that Herod was reconciling our relationship. And as a matter of fact, Herod and I were good friends from that time on. So I came out to the people and I said, I find no fault with this man. Herod finds no fault with this man. I will beat him and release him to you. What was I to do? Well, they weren't very pleased with that. They started to raise a ruckus. Finally, I got them quieted down. And I said to them, you know, at the time of the Passover that I have a custom where I release a Jewish prisoner. Now, I had something in mind here. Right under these palace steps, I had Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was an enemy. I hated him. He caused me no end to trouble. He started insurrections. He stole. He killed. He was a murderer. He killed some of my soldiers. But I also knew that he stole from the Jews, and he had killed some of the Jews, and they had no love for him either. So I thought, I'll give him a choice, Barabbas or Jesus. So I said to them, whom shall I release to you, Barabbas or this Jesus who is called the Christ? Well, they asked for some time to think about it. Fine. So I went back in the palace, and when I got inside, my wife came to me and she said, Pontus, I have just had a dream. And in this dream, I have been warned to tell you to have nothing to do with this righteous man, Jesus. And I wondered, what manner of man is this? That the gods would come to my wife in a dream and through that warn me to have nothing to do with Jesus. But I thought, I don't have anything to worry about here. I was certain that they would ask for Barabbas to be killed. So I came back out on the steps and I said, whom shall I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ? And to my amazement, they said, Barabbas. They said, Barabbas, we want Barabbas. And I said, then what should I do with this man, Jesus? And they said, crucify him, crucify him. And I said, why? What evil has he done? And they said, crucify him, crucify him. So I called for a basin and a pitcher of water. And I poured out the water. I washed my hands. And I said to them, by this symbolic act, I am signifying to you that I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man. And they agreed. They said, his blood be on us and on our children. They understood. So I released Barabbas. And I told my soldiers to take Jesus into the palace. They brought him inside. And I ordered them to scourge him. They took a cat of nine tails, long strips of leather with metal embedded in it. And they took him and they began to scourge him. And they whipped his back until the blood flowed like a river. Once in a while, one of the strips of leather would come around to his chest and rip his belly open. Then they took a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they forced it down until the blood flowed down his face. They put a royal robe on him, put a reed for a scepter in his hands. And then my soldiers, one by one, they would bow down to Jesus and they would say, Hail, King of the Jews! And then they would stand up and spit in his face. And when they were finished with him, they brought him to me. What a mess. Could barely call him a man anymore. I thought this would satisfy them. So I brought him out and I said, Behold the man. Behold the man. I find no fault with him. And they just said, Crucify him. And then they said something that terrified me. They said, Pilate, we have a law that says that if any man claims to be God or the Son of God, he must be executed. And all of a sudden, this just brought back to my mind the words of my wife. And I wondered, what manner of man is it? Could he be related to the gods? So I brought him back inside and I said, "Who are you, Jesus?" And he didn't answer. I said, "Who are you?" Nothing. "Who are you, Jesus? Who are you? Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or to kill you?" And he said to me, "The only power that you have is the power given to you by my Father who is in heaven." So once more, I brought him out and I said, "I find no fault with this man, Jesus." And then they said to me, and this is what finally did it. They said, "Pilate, if you don't crucify this Jesus of Nazareth, we're going to tell Caesar that you're no friend of his and that you had a man who claimed to be the king of the Jews and you were too cowardly. You were too cowardly to execute this religious fanatic." Me? Traitor to Caesar? I don't think so. That would not be good politics. So, I called for my soldiers. And I told them to take him and to crucify him. And so they did. Now, I'm going to tell you that after that, ever since that, my life has been a living hell. A living hell. Soon after these events, some Samaritan got together about 100 Samaritans and he brought them into Judea. He told them that he knew where the golden vessels of Moses were buried. And some of these Samaritans were armed. And so I sent my soldiers out and they killed them. Well, appeal was made to Caesar and I was called to Rome for trial. Caesar declared me incompetent and he banished me to Gaul. And every day in Gaul, my wife came to me and said, "Pontus, I told you so. I told you so. You never listened to me. I told you to have nothing to do with that righteous man Jesus, but you wouldn't listen. I told you so." Every day. Until finally I couldn't take it anymore and I committed suicide. And every day here in hell, I wash my hands. I wash my hands to try to get rid of the blood of that innocent man, Jesus. He is not guilty. And I cannot wash my sin away. There is nothing here to wash my sin away. Don't make my mistake. Don't go along with the crowds. Don't be swayed by popular opinion. And don't wash your hands of Jesus.